Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Ryan.
And this is Dak.
And on this week's show, we are talking about the six things that you should definitely try when you go to Epcot. What do you think about that, Dak?
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. So these are not deep cut tricks, tips. They're just things that we've done in the past that we've enjoyed. You're probably not going to do them on every single trip you go on. But they're certainly not a secret, right?
Yeah, like, I was going to say they're often overlooked.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you have extra time and you work it into your trip, you're going to enjoy doing it. If you miss it, then, man, I'm not selling this very good. If you miss it, it's not the end of the world, but it is something fun to do for sure.
Man, I was thinking too, you know, we talked about this, our last episode about the park hop, like the park hoppers and missing out on things because you're so stressed about getting from park to park.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of a byproduct of that. I think when you're stressed about, you know, getting to a park and getting all the major attractions done and then getting to the what's next, I think these things we're going to talk about today is what gets left behind, unfortunately.
Yeah. This is probably your second or third level of, you know, park going, right?
But they're like, so fun.
But they're fun things to do.
They're super fun. And I think, again, if you decide to go to Epcot and you're like, I'm going to spend all day from rope drop to fireworks, definitely worth your time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay. So we got six things. You want to go first? What you got there?
Yeah. So my first one is the Pixar Short Film Festival.
Okay.
So this is in the pyramid-looking buildings there, just past like the land and Soarin' and all of that. So as you're rounding the corner and heading into the World Showcase, you'll see the pyramids off to the side. Figment's in there as well. But this is a theater. I don't know what you would call it. It's more than just 40. It's a 3D theater for sure. So you put on the glasses. They show probably three or four different Pixar films. I don't know what they're showing right now because, again, it's one of those things that it's been a while since I've been to it, but every time I go to it, it's fun. So from what I can remember, the last time I was there, they showed Get a Horse, which is a fun short with Mickey and Pete and Minnie. And they take an old style of cartoon and they modify it and bring it. Like, it's black and white, the original, and they make it color, and then it's just a fun little short video. Piper, I think, is the other one. It's a story about a little bird that is on the beach.
Yeah, I remember Piper.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think of the other one. Anyway, what's really cool about this video, or this, not video, the theater, is that the audience is sitting on some sort of like suspension type of seating. And so as different things are happening in the videos, not only are you getting the 3D effect and sometimes some 4D with like some splashing and stuff like that, like you'd get at Mickey's PhilharMagic or one of those shows, but also your seat is like bouncing up and down. And so it just adds another little layer of fun as you're watching these films from Pixar and Disney. So that's probably one of my most fun things to do, again, on that second or third level of Epcotting.
Okay, so according to AI Overview from Google Search, currently the Pixar Short Film Festival at Epcot currently shows three 3D short films, Feast and Piper.
Feast is the other one.
And Get a Horse.
Yeah.
18-minute festival is a 4D experience in the Imagination Pavilion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I do remember Piper. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's a cute, again, it's like, you know, get you in the air conditioning a little bit. Right.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good break. It's good for the kiddos. you know, and the adults, they're all fun little videos that are enjoyable to get you out of the heat and in some AC and just kind of a reset your batteries.
Yeah. And again, I think this is one of those things. It's like when you get to Epcot, there's so much walking involved at Epcot. And if you are the kind of person that does not like to sit around a lot, like this is kind of a challenge, right? If you want to walk from country to country or from attraction to attraction, I think you're going to miss a lot by not doing some of these things. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
So my first thing, and again, this is in no particular order, man, I love Club Cool.
Oh yeah.
You know, Club Cool is, you know, it's located in, so the World Celebration. So really as you walk into the park, you hang a left at the ball at Spaceship Earth and just walk like you're going towards Cosmic Rewind, and it's on the right-hand side. It's a brand new, it used to be, I think, called Club Cool.
Yeah.
Back before they remodeled Epcot. Anyway, man, it's this place where you can essentially taste test.
It's sponsored by Coca-Cola,
They have 8 different flavors from all over the world that you can taste test. And one of the great things about it is it's free. You don't pay a dime to do it. And you can walk in and they have like 5 or 6 different drink stations and they all have the same 8 drinks. And you'd grab a little paper cup and you walk right up and you just start pouring and you drink until your little heart is content or until you get sick.
And whatever. They're drinks from all over the world, right? Yeah, they're Coca-Cola sponsored beverages that are from all over the world.
So I'll tell you right now. So right now there's, it's called, let's just go through that. There's 8, like I said, there's 8 drinks. There's the Beverly.
Yeah, that's the most famous.
That's the most famous because that was part of the original Club Cool.
Yeah.
Which it's from Italy. It's got a bitter flavor. It's, you know, and all these drinks are non-alcoholic. Like you say, they're Coke products, right?
And it's a good one to get your friends on. Like if your first timers have not been to, what's it called? Club Cool.
Yeah.
And you get them with the Beverly.
You tell them Beverly is the best.
Yeah.
Because it is not the best. It's very bitter. But it's popular in Italy. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of the other flavors are, one's called Bonbon Anglais from Madagascar. You have Country Club Merengue from the Dominican Republic. Minute Maid Joy Apple Leche from Korea. Wow. And I think this is my favorite. No. Sorry. Yeah. Royal Watermelon from the Philippines. Sparkling with a refreshingly sour watermelon taste. I actually like that one. You've got Smart Sour Plum from China, Sprite Cucumber. I was 50-50 on that. I like cucumber. I like Sprite. I don't know if I like them together.
Yeah.
So, and then, Viva Raspberry from, Moldova, is the 8th and final flavor. So again, one of those things, it's a hot day and you just stop in and get you some free soda. I do know that recently they've had some issues, maybe some supply chain issues. I've seen some posts where, you know, maybe 2 out of the 6 drink stations are out of order.
Oh, wow.
They don't have
the
syrups and the mixes to make them. But for the most part, just a great, great stop, you know, on your day in Epcot.
All right. I like it. Okay. I'm going to go on to my next one, which is basically the Norway Pavilion. Oh, so there's several things in there that I love to do. The bakery, hang on. I'm going to mispronounce it if I don't look at how you say it. The Kringla Bakery Og Cafe. I don't know if that's how they say it in Norway. I'm sure it's not. But in there are just some wonderful treats. My favorite being the school bread. That's probably the most popular treat in there. It's all Norway-based foods, obviously, or bakery goods. The school bread is like a dense, super dense dinner roll. It's got some coconut on it and then kind of like a Bavarian or a Boston cream type of custard on top. Absolutely a must for me every time I go to Epcot.
Would you say a 10 out of 10?
For me, it's a 10 out of 10. Yeah, this is a top snack that I love to do. But also there in the Norway Pavilion is the Stave Church. Again, not sure if it's a long A or short A on that, so I'll call it the Americanized Stave Church.
Stave,
probably.
Yeah, don't know.
What's cool about this is, you know, we know these characters from Marvel, but if you go into this church, it has all the Marvel, Thor, Odin, Loki, and you see them from the Norway perspective as far as like more the lore and the trying to think of like mythology type of background on these characters. Really cool to go in there and see that side of it. The other thing that's cool about Norway, I just love Norway as a pavilion. They of course follow all the, you know, Norway traditions. They have grass roofs, and what's really cool is if you go, I think it's just called the Fjording. It's a shop, right? So as you get out of the Frozen Ever After ride and you come out, you exit, of course, into a shop, which is a Disney specialty, right?
Well, you actually exit. There's a pretty cool looking waterfall right there.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That. So yeah, all that right there. And then you go into the shop, and what I like in there is they actually have this cologne.
Dude, you just hit it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's called Layla or something like that. Layla. And it smells amazing. It's a, what do they call it? Non-sexual, it's not male or female cologne. I don't know how to say that. I'm not a smart cologne guy, but
gender neutral.
Gender neutral. Okay. That's probably the the best way to say it. But that doesn't matter. Even if it was not gender neutral, I'm telling you, it smells so good. I've bought it before and I love it. Like it's pretty potent, meaning you don't need a lot of it to go a long way. So it lasts you forever. Anyways, if you're ever in Norway, the pavilion, not the country, check it out. It's great.
I was going to say, too, that's probably the best smelling shop.
Oh, for sure.
For sure at Epcot, but maybe at Disney World in its entirety. It's an amazing gift shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you can also meet Anna and Elsa there.
Yeah,
not
that's
at the
right.
shop, but at, you know, around
yeah,
the
yeah.
corner.
So yeah, part of the pavilion also is a meet and greet with Anna and Elsa. So it's, again, Norway is one of, there's a great restaurant there, Akershus, if I'm saying that right. So what's great about that restaurant is it's kind of the poor man's Cinderella's royal table. And what I mean by that is, you're going to go in there. It's an all-you-care-to-enjoy buffet. And while there are some Norwegian specialties, there's a lot of, you know, Americanized food as well. Mm-hmm. I would suggest breakfast because you're not going to go wrong with a breakfast there. But if you can book the reservation, then all the princesses are there that you would also see at Cinderella's royal table. In fact, funny story, if we have a minute. So one time I took my girls, just my two little girls. They were small at the time, probably like 6 and 7. And so we're on a daddy and daughter-daughter Disney trip. We go to our first day at the parks. We go to Cinderella's royal table. And of course, all the princesses march around and they stop at the table and say hello. No big deal, right? So then the next day, we happen to have a dinner reservation at Akershus. And so the princesses are making their rounds, and all of a sudden Aurora, Sleeping Beauty, comes around to our table, and I'm like, hey Aurora, did you happen to be at Cinderella's table or castle last night? And she was like, yes, I was. And so again, it's just proof that it's not the exact same, but it's, you're going to get to meet all the same princesses at half the price of what, you know, and double as easy to get into Akershus than it is Cinderella's royal table. So anyways, that's a little pro tip for you, is if you can't book yourself an Akershus, it's poor man Cinderella's royal table.
Okay.
All right. I'm done with Norway.
The main point of that was take advantage of Norway and all that it offers because it's a fantastic pavilion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a great one.
All right. So my second one is something that used to be full-time at Epcot. It has since been reduced to maybe 2, maybe 3 showtimes a day. One of my favorite shows in all of Disney World, and this is Impressions de France, or Impressions de France. I don't know how to pronounce it in French, but it's if you don't know what it is, it's an 18-minute film at the France Pavilion.
Yeah.
Currently, the most viewed show there is the Beauty and the Beast sing-along.
Yeah.
That's a relatively new addition, maybe the past 3 or 4 years. But Impressions de France used to be the constant show there for a long time. I think this was an Epcot original opening day attraction. I think the movie has been out since like the 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on the style of clothing and everything in the movie, it's an older looking film. When you first start to watch it, you're like, whoa, this
it was
like
filmed
70s.
Early 80s.
Yeah.
Early 80s. And you if you grew up in the early 80s, you'll recognize a lot of the cars and attire. But anyway, and it's played on, it's like a 200 degree widescreen theater. It's like a panoramic. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing, amazing film. And the music.
Yeah, that's what does it for me.
Some of the best classical music that you're going to listen to.
For sure. It's the soundtrack to it is absolutely gorgeous. Like just some of the best French composer music that you're going to listen to. And just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music.
And
stuff you'll recognize too.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And basically it just, the film takes you on this kind of the scenic journey across the French countryside. The coastlines, you see a lot of the castles, you see some of that lush, again, we're not pronunciation experts on this podcast, but the Loire Valley,
yeah,
right? You see the French Alps, you see Mont Saint-Michel, Palace of Versailles, like you see a lot of cool things. Talked about the music. Again, it's like one of those places, if it's 95 degrees outside, stop in and watch the film. Now, but here's the issue. Is that right now, I checked the timing, usually you only can watch it in the morning from like when the park first opens. Like mm-hmm. there's like two shows like at 9 and 9:30. And then in the evenings again, towards the end of the day. So you don't get that midday show times like you used to get. So again, if you're lucky to either get there in the morning or in the evening, I would say definitely check it out. It's like, it is such a fun show.
Yeah. Maybe grab yourself some La Halls.
Get you some La Halls.
and go watch. Yeah, that's tough with it only being there in the morning and the evening, because those are typically not your morning and evening activities. No one's rope dropping.
You're not rope dropping Impressions de France.
Yeah.
But you want to check the My Disney app for the latest showtimes. But yeah, I haven't done the sing-along. I can't compare the two. All I know is that Impressions de France is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah. Yeah, the sing-along is good. I mean, it's everything you would expect it to be, right? Like, it's just a film, and they're singing along, and it's a story about Belle and being at the castle, and so, yeah.
Okay. Well.
That would not make my 6 things you should do.
No. And here's why I bring up Impressions de France as well, because you never know when they're going to take it away fully,
right?
For good, right? Yeah. They've already reduced it to 2-3 showtimes a day. You know, I mean, the fans are already up in arms with the Muppets 3D going away over Hollywood Studios. So, you know, Disney is all about progressing, and they're not afraid to take things away. So I would say if you can get up there and see it before they take it away, you got to do it.
Worth doing. Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Worth doing.
All right, so my number 3, which I guess on our list would be our number 5 mm-hmm. of our 6, is if you go back into Canada, there is a gorgeous waterfall in the back of the pavilion. So you have to kind of make your way up past the main parts of the Canadian pavilion and make your way around. And as you go deeper back into the pavilion, it'll kind of loop you around, and then it's this huge waterfall that they have going there, and you can actually walk down and get really close to it and then kind of walk out of this like cave exit, you know, rock cliff sides and so forth. So it's the reason why I say is, again, it's one of those things where there's nothing else there other than the waterfall. So the only reason why you would go back there is to see the waterfall, but it's definitely beautiful and worth seeing.
It's
once
a huge
you get back
waterfall.
There. Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. And so, that's it. No more bells and whistles about it. It's just a gorgeous thing, right, to go see. Again, if you're just exploring Epcot and looking for things to do and you want to get off the beaten path, I will say this, every time I've been back there, there's maybe two or three other people. So if you are maybe a little bit of an introvert or need just a break, like if Epcot's having a very busy day, that might be a good place to kind of tuck away and kind of get some less crowded people time in a very gorgeous place. And it even feels cooler back there for whatever reason.
Because of that giant waterfall.
Yeah, probably. Probably. You know, and I'll just kind of put a plug for all of the pavilions as a general blanket statement. Listen, if you're looking for something to do in Epcot and you have extra time or you want a break from the crowds, all of these pavilions have nice little coves and like little hidden areas that you can go and chill out in and just kind of sit down, find a bench, take a minute, regroup, you know, as a family or as a individual. And there's some gorgeous scenery, you know, whatever it is that you like, the mosaics there in Morocco, mm-hmm. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. The little hedge maze in the UK, fun, like a great place to take a little break with your kids and have fun. So anyways, that's my last little pitch is the waterfall. But side note, all of the pavilions are fun to go and explore.
Yeah. And there's also that Circle Vision 3D movie, not 3D, Circle Vision 360 degree with Martin Short.
That's right. And,
which I think I've seen maybe once. I've seen it at least once, maybe twice, but you have to stand in the theater. There's no seats.
Yeah, that's
which is, you know, if you're looking to get a break, you can sit on the floor.
Right.
But it's like maybe 15, 16 minute long video. So anyway,
yeah,
I agree with you. I think Canada is often overlooked.
Yeah.
People just tend to walk right past it, heading to England to eat or do some shopping. But I think, like you said, that waterfall is amazing.
Yeah, for
absolutely
sure.
Amazing. All right. So for my final one, number six total, there have been, well, let me say it this way. If you're like me, and I know you are to a certain degree, Dak, you can find yourself at times, you know, walking through Disney, seeing certain shows or events or experiencing different things where you may find a tear falling from your eye.
Yes.
Because it kind of hits this emotional chord. So I would say the Voices of Liberty is one of those experiences where it can definitely tug at the heartstrings.
For sure.
And get the emotional feelings flowing. And I don't think the Disney app does it much service. Here's what it says on the Disney app. Get swept away by inspiring vocal performances celebrating America's spirit and beauty. That's all it says.
Yeah, it's so much better than
it's
that.
It's so much better. And, you know, their show times, you know, from like 11 to 4. So it's not, again, it's not an all-day thing. You have to kind of get there from midday through the early afternoon hours. But let me just read a little bit information, a little bit more about Voices of Liberty. It's an 8-member professional a cappella singing group that hosts patriotic choral performances in this rotunda. So the sound is amazing. Like it's an amazing sound. And literally they start singing and you get the goosebumps like big time. They perform year-round events, including the Candlelight Processional, which is there at the theater across the way. Right? But they've also performed for several U.S. presidents.
Really?
Yeah, Ronald Reagan being one, Jimmy Carter. So they do outside events as well. So
if I ever become president, I'm going to have them perform for me.
You should. You should. And that theater too, on the inside, the rotunda, there's also a lot of cool, just like there's some paintings that you can look at, some exhibits that you can look at. Again, one of those places that's often overlooked because if you're going there, you're going there to eat at the Regal Eagle because you're craving some barbecue, right?
Oh, yes.
Or there's some bathrooms right there. But oftentimes you don't go inside and listen to this a cappella group or to check out some of the paintings that are on exhibit there. It's a really cool experience. And I would say, again, there's probably 8, 9, 10 show times a day, kind of in those middle, late morning to early afternoon hours. I would say definitely check them out. Like it is kind of a very, you know, just a very emotional experience hearing them sing, you know, especially if you're a big fan of America.
Yeah.
You know, check, definitely want to check them out.
Well, I think that's it. You kind of touched on something that, like, a lot of us get in the habit, especially if you're on a quick trip, right? So the last two trips that you and I have taken, you know, you're there for a limited number of days, certainly not a day where you can spend the whole time in the parks. And so I think even on a regular day, you know, your goals are, oh, well, I want to hit Cosmic and, you know, I want to go see, do Test Track and Soarin' and, you know, Ratatouille and these rides that are out there. And you should, right? Those are a big part of going to Epcot. And I think a lot of people maybe are good with, like, walking the World Showcase and maybe poking their head in, you know, to a few shops and getting some caramel or getting a, you know, school bread at Norway or whatever. But they don't take the time, like you're saying, to sit down and listen to, you know, the Voices of Liberty or stop and watch, you know, whatever, Impressions de France. I think that that's where you have to not force yourself, but kind of make a concerted effort to do these things. And when you do, you'll be like, wow, that was amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was worth taking the time to do. Even though it's like probably number 8, 9, 10, or 11 on your list of things to do at Epcot, I think just carving out that time will make you appreciate the Epcot experience even more so than just going to attraction after attraction.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the six things that you should try at Epcot.
And there's more. Yeah. I think we could
two part this, maybe even three part this.
Yeah. There's so much to do at Epcot. It's a great park. And with the new changes that they've made, it's just getting better and better. And then with the things coming up, you know, Test Track coming online here. Speaking of a little side note, did you see the new test vehicles?
I did see that.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Slick. So, yeah, I think Epcot is one of those turning back into a full day park. It kind of struggled there for a minute, but I think it's
well
back
now
on.
That the construction is almost all done. Again, the entry up there by Spaceship Earth, they really have done a great job with that.
For sure. Really pretty.
You probably can take some time just to chill there.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Kind of relax and kind of just reflect on life. So anyway, well, hey man, you had a magical scenario.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. So, I have a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, they're taking their kids to Disney and they've been texting me nonstop all week long. And, so basically they're first time goers. They don't know a thing about Disney. And so they're just peppering me with questions and how to's and should we do this or should we do that? Where should we stay? All those important questions that you should ask as you're going on a Disney trip. And we're going through just different options. They really are anti waiting in line.
Mm.
And so basically we kind of got down to a point where I'm like, hey, here's two options. So here's the two options for your magical scenario. Option number one is they could buy 3 days of tickets and a multi-lane pass, right? Multi-lane pass. Did I say that right? Am I missing?
Lightning lane multi-pass.
There it is. Yeah. So the lightning lane multi-pass for 3 days, right? And Disneyland is one of those great places, great parks, because you can bounce back and forth really easily. And so anyways, so that was option one, 3 day pass, multi-lane. And I think we ran the numbers and it ended up being for their family, which they have a big family, it was close to like $4,200. Okay.
Okay.
So keep that number in. Yeah. Not cheap, but doable for them. And then the thought came to me, I was like, or you could get a 1 day ticket with a hopper and do a VIP tour. The VIP tours, I think, range between, I want to say, $500 and $700 an hour with a minimum 7 hour, which when you hear that, you're like, right? Like, how is that possible? But if you run the numbers, I think it worked out to be about $6,200. So the difference in cost is about $2,000 more to do a 1 day with a VIP tour. Now, you got to understand, on these VIP tours, they are just absolutely spoiling you. I mean, they're walking you to the, forget the multi-lane, where you still have to wait or you maybe only get a certain number of rides. They are walking you to the front of every ride. And if you say, that was fun, let's do it again, they walk you right to the front and you go again, right? Like, these VIP tours are awesome. An absolute bucket list for me. So my question to you is, if you had a trip coming up to go to Disneyland, would you rather, or what's your magical scenario? A 3 day multi-lane where you can go to the parks multiple days, probably get to experience everything you want to and more, or try to squeeze it into a VIP experience where you're getting pampered the whole time, but you only get about 8 hours and you're going to pay a couple grand more.
No, for me, the answer is very simple. I'm doing the 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I think because of our recent experience at Disney just a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. where we were trying to get as much done as possible that first day and then kind of realized that second day, no, we just got to kind of take it easy. I think that there's so, like, Disney has so much to offer. And yeah, I mean, if your goal is to, yeah, we're just going to go for 1 day, we're going to get as much done as we can, we're going to pay the extra money just to not have to wait in line and then be done with it, so be it. But I think because of what we just talked about with Epcot, I'm like, man, there's so much to see. Like, I wouldn't want to miss, if I'm just going for 3 days, like, yeah, let me just soak everything up. You know, I think Disney, and I think maybe society as a whole, we've become, and we talk about this instant gratification society, which has only gotten worse as yeah. time has gone on. I think we have forgotten how to slow down and how to take it easy. And I think going to Disney, yeah, you want to get everything done, but it's almost more enjoyable when you don't. And that you can just go in and just say, listen, we're not going to be able to get everything done because there's too much to do.
Yeah.
Maybe if we had 2 weeks, we could get it all done.
Awesome,
right?
Would that be? There's the magical scenario.
That's the magical scenario, right?
Yeah.
But I think 3 days, I'm like, you know, 3 days, you know, yeah, get the park hopper, but not stress about having to wait in line. I don't know. I don't think that's a bad deal.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I thought pretty long and hard about it. And you know, they decided to go with a 3 day as well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, which I encouraged them to do because, again, I think you're right. I think even with that, if all you cared about was the attractions, which to me, the attractions are not enough. If Disney was just the attractions and you didn't get all the other experiences that you can get there, I don't know that I would be as big of a Disney fan as what I am. Mm-hmm. I like all the extra things, right? I like going to the Canadian Pavilion and seeing the waterfall or going over to France and watching Impressions de France, right? Disneyland, the same thing, right? I love all the extras that our Disney Imagineers put into the parks. That's what makes Disney unique, right?
Absolutely.
And so for me, even if money was no object, even if it was the same price, let's say that, I would still choose the 3 days because I don't want to feel rushed where all I can do is go from one attraction to the next. I want to be able to stop and enjoy the moment that it is, right? Not just feel that rush of running from one place to the next. And I think even when we're not on VIP tours, we can let ourselves slide into that trap of just, like you said a minute ago, let's just try to do everything we possibly can, as much as we can. And that's just, in my opinion, that's not the best way to do Disney.
And I love what you said too, because if you go to any other theme park, Six Flags, SeaWorld, and even to a certain degree Universal, it is attraction to attraction to attraction. There's nothing in between. Universal has done better, especially with Harry Potter World. They've incorporated a little of those Easter eggs and
yeah.
extra things to see and do while you're visiting. And I'm from what I've seen about Epic Universe, it's super immersive. I'm sure they have knocked it out of the park with Epic. But again, that you're right. It's what makes Disney unique and different is that these are like you do have these extra things that you can see and do and hear and, you know, taste that separate, you know, that's in addition to just hopping on a roller coaster or hopping on or watching a show, right? So, yeah. Well, I'm glad they chose the 3 days.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely the right decision.
Yeah. I'm happy for it. And I'm excited for them to go and experience that for the first time as well.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. What are some of your top 6 things you would do in Epcot that are a little bit off the beaten path? Great show.
Yeah. Until next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.